It's time to take this game into overtime.
The official podcast
of the Average Joe's Sports Show
on 90.9 The Light Sports
for our generation.
90.9 The Light is about to take a trip to the frozen pond. Hockey fans across the United States and Canada, get ready to lace up your skates and grab your gear, because it's time for The Face-Off with your hosts, Johnny Fabrazzo and Andrew Beamer.
Welcome to The Face-Off, everybody. My name is Andrew, alongside Johnny Fabrazzo, the kind of guys that have the face for radio. Johnny, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Andrew. Thank you for that, by the way.
Well, I included myself in there, too.
We got an exciting show for you today. We got some Vegas Golden Knights news coming out today.
Absolutely.
We're going to have some playoff talk, as well as an interview with, hopefully Paul Hendricks of Leafs TV. If not, we got Rhett McGibbon, the D3 men's coach here at Liberty University.
That's a solid guy.
Andrew, I want to get your take on the news that came out today out of Las Vegas. With history was made on Wednesday when they officially became a team.
Right.
But today, they now have a player.
Right. So, well, you said it. The Vegas Golden Knights officially became the 31st franchise of the National Hockey League around trade deadline time this past Wednesday. And today they made more breaking news. They signed free agent Reid Duke. He's the first player signed by the team. News broke earlier today, as previously mentioned. And as reported by TSN, Duke was signed as a free agent to a 3-year entry-level contract just 6 days after Vegas got the green light from the NHL and Gary Bettman. 7 months away from the Knights actually playing in their first game. That's pretty exciting, if you ask me. We were talking right before. When is it going to become real to us that there's a 31st franchise?
It still hasn't hit me, totally.
No. And you were saying when the jerseys... when they get their jerseys and we see, and I think they'll look pretty nifty if you ask me.
I hope so.
But in my opinion, I'm not going to feel like it's real until, you know, the expansion draft happens and we've got a 20-plus man
roster.
That's
when we actually have a team.
Exactly. So like I said, we're 7 months away. Some quick analysis on Duke Reid, or Reid Duke. Oh gosh, I'm going to get that mixed up all night. He's 21 years old. He scored 35 goals and 67 points in 54 games as a center with the WHL's Brandon Wheat Kings. The Wheat Kings are one of the best team in the WHL. They actually went to the Memorial Cup last year, and they lost to Mitchell Marner's London Knights of the Toronto Maple Leafs now. Exactly.
Shameless Leafs plug.
It wasn't too shame. I felt good about it. He's he's not a huge guy. He's 6 foot. He's about 190. If you're not Canadian, that means he's 190 pounds. And he was originally drafted, actually, 169th overall by the Minnesota Wild in the 2014 NHL entry draft. And this is where it gets kind of ironic, because the Wheat Kings are owned by Vegas assistant general manager Kelly McCrimmon. So
really?
He definitely had some say in who
McPhee was going to sign. If there's anyone that knows who he is, it would be him.
Exactly. And another shameless Maple Leafs plug is that Mark Hunter was part owner of the London Knights, and you all know who he selected. I don't need to reiterate that. But the Golden Knights, this is something cool. We were talking about this before the show. I had no idea. You had no idea. And until I actually read a couple articles today, we had no idea. The Golden Knights will have these same draft lottery odds as the 28th placed team this year. That means the third worst team in the standings, which means a good shot at Nolan Patrick. They're sitting at 10.3% chance to get Nolan Patrick.
And that means they can't fall any farther than the sixth overall pick.
Exactly, which means they're going to have...
if three teams jump ahead of them, which usually doesn't happen.
Well, last year was the weirdest year for Winnipeg.
Yeah, but two teams jumped up.
Yeah, but I mean, they've got a legitimate chance to put a first rounder on the NHL ice next year, which is just crazy to me. But let's go a little deeper into some analysis on Duke. Hockey's future, it's the best, in my opinion, site on the web to get a talent analysis, a talent score, if you will, of prospects coming into the league. They give him a talent score of 7.0 and a C for probability of success, which is actually pretty good. Nylander's got
a
C.
He's an overaged player, right? He's 21 playing in the
WHL. So he's an older guy playing in the league, obviously. But it's not a bad analysis.
That means he might be able to jump right into the roster next year.
He might have a shot, actually. Minnesota didn't give him a fair look, in my opinion. He's probably going to get that. He's obviously going to get that right now.
He's
the only player on the team.
Who else are they going to have?
Exactly. So he's an average-sized player, like I said, 6 feet, not even 200 pounds. He's sound in all areas of the game. So neutral zone, offensive zone, defensive. He's shown flashes of offensive upside, and he's produced consistently on a WHL team, a strong WHL team, that is. So good pickup. Expect a lot more free agent signings and a lot more to happen.
You think
the Vegas
they're
going to
stockpile on young guys like that for, you know, their either their farm team or just to have those prospects?
See, I don't know, because I would imagine that the teams that are, you know, obviously teams that are protecting players, they're not going to want to protect players that are veteran, that are, or that are, you know, that are obviously their bad players that they don't have on
bad
on,
contracts.
Exactly. So I think they'll have more of a veteran presence up front, and maybe
they will. But you think they stockpile on young guys
absolutely. They'll try to get a good farm team system going on as early as possible because they want to develop like the Detroit Red Wings have developed for the last 30 years, right? So they're going to follow the trends and trajectories of successful teams and hopefully do the same thing. Granted, it's going to be a lot harder starting from scratch. And it's not going to be like the Vegas Golden Knights are going to win the 2018 Stanley Cup. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry. And I don't even know Vegas Golden Knights fans that would, you know, that are, they don't have, you can't have an established fan base without seeing the team play a game yet or who the team is.
They sold their season tickets quickly.
They sold out
in a few weeks. I think that because this is the first team that Vegas is getting, their fans that are out there are just so looking forward to having a professional franchise out there.
Oh, for sure.
They don't care what it is. They just want to have a sporting team out there that they can call their own.
Exactly. And, you know, they should be because it's exciting. It's another team.
It's
anybody
a major
in the
mark.
NHL
I'm surprised
is excited.
It took this long to get a team out there.
Yeah, and we just got to even it up and get another team out in the West,
I think that the NFL actually is trying to get a team out there. Maybe the Raiders might be moving to
Jumping
Vegas.
On the NHL bandwagon, are we?
Hey, you know, we got there first, so
exactly.
That's something we can call their own. Think about this. What's it? Reed Duke?
Yeah.
He is the first player in the Vegas market ever.
That's true. Yeah, of any sports market. That's true.
That's
interesting.
Something he can call his own.
Yeah, he's got that title. He doesn't have a Wikipedia page yet, but we should make him one. Exactly. Let's move on and talk about something that's going on right now. The GM meeting started today. They'll end on Wednesday. They're discussing a few topics. The bye week is a topic of a lot of controversy right now, and I don't care about the bye week. I don't care what happens. You have some actually interesting opinions.
I have a lot of interest in it.
So tell me a little bit about the bye week. What do you think the GMs are going on? What their decision may be at the end of it?
Well, from what I'm hearing, the way it's set up right now is that a team has a bye week, and then they jump right back into the schedule.
What is a bye week for those that don't know?
It's 5 days off. I don't know why they did this way, but they started right after the All-Star break. So the team had a week off for the All-Star game. They had like 4 days off.
And then five
extra
days.
And then they had like two games and then another 5 days. I feel like that completely disrupts the rhythm of a season for a team.
Right.
Especially the Devils were getting right into a groove. I mean, it was four games, but then the bye week came, and I don't think they've won any games since.
Yeah.
The teams coming off the bye week, it's not even close to the record. I think there's something like 3-12 coming off the bye
week.
Yeah,
it's awful. It's an awful
stretch.
It's
terrible. So what I'm hearing is that the GMs want to make it so that teams coming off the bye week play each other. Instead of having a team coming off the bye week playing a team in its groove, they're going to have the two teams on the bye week play each other so that they can sort of get back into the system.
Now, what other options would the GMs, Gary Bettman, you know, everybody in the league be considering?
I really don't know. This is the first year they've done it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what other options they have. Maybe shortening the bye week, making 2 3-day off weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know what else they can do.
See, I heard they might do it where one, like half the team or half the league gets a week off at the same time, and then the other half of the league.
There's going to be no hockey on that. Those
I
weeks.
Know. That's the thing.
That's what they're trying
their
to avoid.
Their options are awful.
I think they're trying to make it in sets of fours.
Yeah.
So that you have the two matchups of those two teams coming off.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, and who knows? They probably won't come to a decision Wednesday. They'll probably just say, all right, we talked about it enough. We'll talk about it at the next GM meeting. You think they will?
I do think that. I think there's enough momentum with this issue, and teams are seeing the results of the bye week this year that they want to make a change.
Yeah.
And I think that there's going to be some revisions to it.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah,
I don't like when they just go through a meeting and nothing happens, especially
a
2-3-day stretch.
It's not fair right now the way it's set up. And you're seeing the results. I mean, it's not even close, the record of teams coming off the bye week.
Well, that's not the only thing they're talking about that's controversial or up in the air. They're also talking about offside, specifically when they're reviewing an offside play, and it's reviewed because it was led to a goal, and they're reviewing if the player that was maybe offside, maybe wasn't, his foot was on the blue line or over it, or if it was in the air or not. What would you like to see happen there?
Well, this is more football where it has to break the plane. Hmm. So if a player's foot is still over the blue line, whether it's on the ice or not, I don't think it should be offsides because it's still technically not in the zone, right?
It's really splitting hairs at that point because the naked eye can't tell that close. Even if they slow it down, the angles, like, it still looks like they're on the ice kind of.
But
so.
the rule for the challenge, and this leads into the next issue, these two are sort of connected, is that teams are now able to challenge offsides. So you need to have that rule because they're able to the refs are able to slow it down to a point where they need to determine whether or not the foot being in the air or not or on the ice matters.
And we're losing so many minutes with these challenges. I mean, especially when they're that close.
These were made for egregious calls that were missed.
Yeah.
But you can't have it just that. You can't say, oh, if he was 5 feet in the zone, you can challenge. But if his foot was just over the line, you can't challenge. It has to be a set rule.
You do have to give some credit to guys like Chris King, Mike Murphy, who run the War Room in Toronto, because they get a ton of these calls every night, and they have to deal with them. And 99% of the time, they call it correctly. Yes. It just takes a while sometimes.
Have you seen what the refs review the plays on?
What are you talking about? Which
when
one?
When they get a coach's challenge, have you seen what?
I've been in the war room when they've
war room.
Oh, you're talking. Okay,
I'm talking about the refs when they go to the bench. Have you seen what they review the play on?
Isn't it just a tablet?
It's about the size of my iPhone.
NHL could spare a little more.
How can you make a call based on that?
I have no idea.
His foot's the size of the penny. I mean, I don't know. I don't get why they're reviewing on that.
Yeah, I mean, at least give him some more equipment.
Yeah, exactly. Make it a bigger
easier.
Screen at least.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think the rules should be?
I don't know. I kind of like the idea, like you said, where they just, if they have their, it's similar to the NFL, they have their foot over the line, they're good. It's too crazy to just go, okay, was it on the ice? Was it half inch off? Okay, if it's half inch,
camera angles will never give you a set.
No.
Because there's illusions with the camera angles the NHL uses. So it might look like a player's foot is on the ice, but it's actually not.
Exactly.
So I think it should just be whether the player's foot is over the line.
And, you know, that's the thing. Hopefully they'll come to a decision or something like that. But, you know, and there's one other thing they're talking about at the GM meeting this week, and that's just coaches challenging in general, because a lot of people go, I hate it or I love it. Do you hate it? Do you love it? Which do you prefer?
Sometimes I love it. I don't know. I really...
If it bounces the right way for your team, you love it.
And then sometimes I'm like, really? You're going to challenge that? It didn't have any impact on the play.
Right.
You're going to see an offsides challenge where the goal didn't happen until 20 seconds after. Had no effect on the play, but they're going to call it back.
And then you got to go back. You got to go back 20 seconds.
Yeah. Exactly.
So maybe going back to what we were talking about previously, if they decide something on the foot being on the ice or off the ice, it'll affect coaches challenging
in
general.
It
maybe appease some people in the process.
Yeah, hopefully they'll be able to make more calls on the ice right, but that's not going to stop the coaches from challenging.
No.
So hopefully setting that rule where a player can have his foot hovering over the ice and he won't be offsides, hopefully that deters coaches from challenging as much.
And the one thing, I got to bring this up. Denton Dare, a good buddy, is listening right now, and I know he would agree with me. When a coach challenges, he should be able to throw a flag on the ice. It would be hilarious.
It would be
so funny. Like, he just tosses, like, I'm talking like a big flag, not like a pansy flag, like a huge flag.
What other things could a coach throw in the NHL?
Oh, we've seen coaches throw sticks, helmets,
milk
crates.
Bench once.
Yeah, bench. There's tons of stuff.
Gatorade, maybe
you were really
Gatorade
strong,
bottle?
You could throw a player. That'd be awkward. You could do it. You could somehow do it. I'd like to see coaches throwing more things on the ice.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
You know, it's so boring the way it's set up now. Obviously, I think everyone listening will agree with us.
Yeah, and Denton just said preach, so we know he agrees with us.
Hitting the hard issues here.
Exactly.
Only the best here on the face-off. Andrew, did you watch Trade Deadline on Sportsnet, or did you watch on TSN?
No, I watched it on TSN, but I know you watched it on Sportsnet.
I'm a Sportsnet guy.
Which means you got to see Rizgalov talk. Tell me some interesting things he said there.
Oh, my gosh, he was great. He has to be on television in the future.
He's got
they
a
need
good
to bring him
future
in for the playoffs. They need to bring him in for the playoffs.
You think
he
they
was
will?
Great. Oh, it was, especially on trade deadline day, where it's always like the big hype of you know how many trades are going to happen, and then it winds up being nothing.
What? Okay, tell me this. What was your favorite Rizgalov quote trade deadline
Jeff
day?
Jeff Merrick asked him if he thought aliens existed, and they were walking about with us here on Earth. And he gave this like 5-minute long-winded answer that was just hysterical, saying, yeah, Yeah, aliens are walking among us.
And that's how boring the NHL trade deadline is.
Yes.
That we have Ilya Bryzgalov talking about aliens.
It was a change of pace, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, on TSN, we had one of the guys water down with a gun or something, like a fake gun, like a water gun. That was pretty much the only excitement. Yeah. Letterkenny featured on the show, but...
On TSN?
Yeah, it was all right.
I've never seen Letterkenny.
That's a Canadian
thing. It's a Canadian
thing,
I guess.
Canadian.
Anyway, we're going to take a quick break here on the face-off. When we come back, we're going to talk about some playoff stuff and bubble teams and wild card spots and stuff to as we wind down to the last 6 weeks of the season. So we'll be right back.
And welcome back to the face-off. My name is Andrew, alongside Johnny. We're going to talk Johnny Hockey, eh?
Yeah.
You got to trademark that. Perfect. All right. We're going to talk some playoff talk. We've got some interesting standings to discuss, I would say. A pretty close east. Actually, a pretty close west, too.
This is the closest I've ever seen it.
Absolutely. But let's kick things off with the east. We'll start there.
Want to start with the east?
I want to start with the east.
Okay.
We have more leverage with the east. We like the east a little bit more.
Yeah, well, we both have.
Exactly.
We're both fans of east teams.
So you've got a really tight metro division between 2 and 3. A really tight Atlantic division, and then the wild card, which is occupied by the both New York teams, the New York Rangers and the New York Islanders, and 1 point behind them is the Toronto Maple Leafs, or behind the Islanders. What do you see happening here? Who do you see?
Well, the first wild card spot, I think, is all but locked up. I mean, I don't see the Rangers falling back out of that spot. And the Rangers can jump up, but another Metro team is going to jump back down to that wild card spot. So it's really the second wild card team, which has been bouncing around for a few weeks now between really the Islanders, the Maple Leafs, the Panthers.
And it's going to continue to jump up and down.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So it's really just determining who's going to finish in that spot at the end of the year.
Yeah. And so, well, let's look at the Islanders and the Maple Leafs. They both have played 64 games, and the Islanders have one more point than them right now.
I mean, that's not much of a difference. It's a shootout win.
But that's not it. Like, Florida's in the mix. Tampa's in the mix. Tampa? Okay, we thought they cashed out at the trade deadline.
Hey, you got Stamkos back. Who knows?
Is he back?
He's been taking morning skates.
Okay, I thought he was, like, playing now.
Saying
I'm like, when did I miss that?
Mid-March. So I'm going to guess maybe by next week he could be
really,
really close to being back.
See, I could see them not rushing his return, but wanting to move along with the process because they're going, oh, we're 3 points out of a wild card
spot.
Exactly. And
why
Stammer's
not make
almost
a run
back.
For it.
Yeah, like, I know we just got rid of Ben Bishop, Boyle, and, you know, a couple other guys, but they could make a run for it.
Why not?
Not the Cup. I don't think they're going to win the Cup by any means, but they could definitely take a wild card spot. I don't see them taking a division spot. That's too tight. I don't even see Toronto taking a division spot, and I'm a Maple Leafs fan.
That wild card spot is really what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Because the first wild card spot is locked up by a Metro team.
Yeah.
So that it basically comes down to one spot, in my opinion.
And
unless the Maple Leafs can jump up into a division spot, who knows?
It could happen. I mean,
Boston's
the way,
4 points up, but they have one more game played.
Right. I mean, it's that tight in the Atlantic that the Maple Leafs could take a run, and you could say the same thing about Florida or Tampa, could take a run at that third Atlantic spot. But it's going to be contested for the rest of the season. It's not gonna. Ottawa and Boston aren't gonna run away with it. Although Ottawa's making a good case for it right now, but they're not gonna run away from it. Even Montreal, who's in first in the Atlantic, hasn't ran away from it.
No, they've really fallen off. They're starting to get back on now that they got Claude Julien and Carey Price is coming back to form. It looks like.
Well, was he third star of the week this week?
Yeah, I think so.
And the two guys ahead of him were what's his name?
Kucherov.
Kucherov was number one, and we'll get to that later.
Yeah. That,
and
yeah.
Then Bobrovsky, that's it, Columbus, who's having a stellar season.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely,
it's pretty crazy. But I don't know. Like I can't make a guess on who, like, what teams. I could say for sure Washington, Columbus, and Pittsburgh. That's the only ones that actually, and New York Rangers.
Rangers could jump up into a division spot. But, I mean, they're locked into a playoff spot with that wild card, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's interesting. It's tight. It's good hockey, though. Now, like, it's obviously good hockey so far, right?
Oh, yeah. It's going to come down to the wire, for sure. And every game now for the Maple Leafs, the Panthers, the Islanders, they're all going to be must-win games and must-watch games, if you ask me.
The joke on Twitter with the Leafs, at least the people I follow, is this game is the most important game, and that's been tweeted out before every game for the last at least 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
Which is true, though.
It's so true.
Every game
every point matters
right now. Yeah.
How many? What is the Leafs' shootout record?
Oh, it's awful.
Exactly.
It's,
if you
it's
win
so bad.
Two or three of those, you're in that wild card spot.
You know what Lou Lamoriello? So Lou Lamoriello is the GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs. You know what he said today at the GM meeting? He said he wants. So I like this. He said he wants the loser point abolished. No more loser points. So it's either 2 points or nothing. Or
so even if you go to overtime.
Yeah.
If you lose, you don't get a point.
Yeah. And but he said alternatively, you can just go back to the 1-1. Like the tie. You each get 1 point if you go to OT or a shootout.
But then what's the point of playing overtime?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, what are you talking about, Lou? Like,
yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. You just took the
you
intensity
to
out of the game.
You need to have some motivation for the shootout.
I think it should just be
overtime.
I think it's just, I like the 2 points or nothing. I hate the loser point. I don't feel like a winner when I get a loser point or when the Leafs get a loser point.
No, but you might be thankful for them if you win the wild card by 1 point.
I haven't been thankful in Toronto for a lot of years.
Steve Dangle said something, and I thought it was so funny, which was coming into the season, we had no expectations as Leafs fans.
No.
And they still find a way to disappoint us.
I'm slightly disappointed at some things. Not Marner, Matthews, or Nylander, or a couple
other
guys.
He was talking about the third periods and the blown leads.
Yeah, well, we've...
Just because of how frustrating it's been for
the
you guys.
The shootout woes have been the story in Toronto, but we'll get to that at some point. But let's jump over to the West, because the West for a while wasn't that tight, and now all of a sudden it's like, wow, the West is pretty tight.
And it's the same story, in my opinion, because you have the division teams, and then one wild card is locked in.
Right.
Because, I mean, I don't think the Calgary Flames have that first wild card spot. I don't see them falling out of that.
Well,
so
the Los Angeles, the Kings were close, but they're 8 points back from the wild card spot that the Flames have right now. And the Flames have the first wild card spot.
And they're 1 point out of that second wild card spot. So that's where I see all these battles are going to come down to.
Who is that second one? St. Louis?
St. Louis right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Okay, so right now you've got Minnesota's a lock, Chicago's a lock, San Jose in between Edmonton and Anaheim for sure, one of the two, and then Calgary probably. It's pretty tight, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, we can say Colorado and Arizona's out of contention. There's nobody that's going to question that. I wouldn't count the Winnipeg Jets out quite yet.
No, they can definitely make up 3 points.
But the very least they could do is grab that second wild card spot.
Yeah.
That's the very least they could do.
They would need to get 3 points to jump up into that spot.
Right. So, I don't know. The West is pretty tight. I still say the East's more tight. And it's been a closer and more fun, entertaining race.
Now you're starting to see some teams drop off, like the Devils, the Red Wings. In the West, you got Colorado, Arizona. They've been done for the whole season. But Dallas and Vancouver, they really fell off in the past few games.
And Dallas is an interesting story because you have some pretty strong opinions on Dallas.
Oh, yeah. Dallas, they blew their chance, in my opinion.
Yeah, blew it. Yeah, blew it, bud. Sorry, that's
so
Jay
Onwright,
right? Well, that's I'm quoting somebody.
Oh,
the Canadian,
who?
Though. Jay Onwright.
Who?
Jay Onwright. Google him. You don't know who Jay Onwright is?
Is he a player?
No. Jay Onwright is the single greatest sports broadcaster of our generation. He's the best ever. He's better than Foster Hewitt.
Scott Van Pelt?
No, better.
What? What's
every
he on?
Time he was on TSN, he moved to Fox Sports, and now him and Dan O'Toole, his partner, are coming back to TSN. Every time he read Sergey Bobrovsky's name on TSN, he would go, "And Sergey Bobrovsky." Every time. He could say his name, his last name, three times in a row, and he'd still say like that.
He was the Canadian Chris Berman.
You know, Chris Berman was the American Jay Onwright, my friend.
I don't know about that.
No, he was. Once you go home tonight, you Google TSN Top 10 Jay Onwright and Dan O'Toole moments, your life will be changed forever. Fact.
I know Dan O'Toole. I saw him on Twitter. Did he return to TSN or something like that?
Yeah, literally, both Jay Onwright and Dan O'Toole were the best Canadian acquisition of any of the seven teams plus TSN on trade and or NHL trade deadline day.
So, there you go. Breaking news. Andrew is going to be happy watching TSN again.
Absolutely.
Make TSN great again.
Make TSN great again. Oh, man. Jay Onwright should petition to become the next Prime Minister of Canada. That's how much I like him.
Wow.
I would vote for him.
Strong opinions here.
Very strong opinions. I didn't think we'd get political, but I just got political. I don't care. It's happening. So, anyways, lots of teams to discuss. Lots more. We have a very special interview coming up right after the break, but we're going to go to a commercial break right now. Talk to you guys in a bit. And welcome back to The Face-Off. My name is Andrew, alongside Johnny Fabrazzo. We have a special guest calling in right now, Paul Hendrick of Leafs TV. Paul, how are you?
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on. Really good.
That's great to hear. We've been trying to get this organized for a couple weeks, and we've had scheduling conflicts, and we finally got you on the air. We're really happy to have you.
Well, my pleasure. Busy and always fun to talk hockey anytime.
Exactly. So we've got a couple questions, and they're going to be Maple Leafs related, because I'm a big Maple Leafs fan. I'm from Toronto, and Johnny's just going to have to play along with the fun for this one.
Hey, let's do it. It's always fun talking hockey, especially with an expert like Paul.
Exactly.
Thank you.
So our first question is, we gotta talk, when we're talking to Paul Hendrick of Leafs TV, about Auston Matthews. When you watch Auston Matthews play, who do you draw comparisons to?
It's a great question, and I hate doing this to anybody this young in his career, but I think an obvious is Sidney Crosby, with just core strength, the ability to handle the puck, maturity at a young age, and ability to see the ice the way Sidney does. I think Auston reminds me a lot of him. Whether Auston evolves into a player that Sidney is remains to be seen, but I knew right from day one of training camp when he came back to the club after the World Cup of Hockey, and my colleague Bob McGill looked at me and just went, wow. And Bob simply said, he's the best player this team has had for almost forever. He was that good. So to compare him to a player, I mean, it's hard to do, but, and it's not fair to do, but I think Sidney Crosby comes to mind. Again, just the way they play the game, think the game, the maturity that goes with each of these players, both on and off the ice. That's who I would compare him to. We'll see how Auston moves on in his career and where he ends up in terms of Stanley Cups and all of these other accolades. But right now, if you were to ask me, and you did, I'd say Sid.
Right. And there's a lot of things when you have to, you know, compare a player. You look at Auston Matthews and you say he's a two-way dynamic forward. He plays a 200-foot game, very good defensively. He's just a responsible player.
Yeah, he is, and has been for almost all of his career. And the fun thing to do when watching Auston in person is, when he doesn't have the puck, is watching him go get it. He's very persistent that way, and all the good players. John Tavares is another player in mind. Watch when they don't have the puck. Watch how they play without the puck. And almost to a T, every one of these players will be after it and doing his best to bust their tail to make sure they get that puck back. So that goes with being a 200-foot player. Now, at time, there are mistakes that are made, but that just goes with playing in the National Hockey League. And you'd have to think that, you know, Auston was still 18 years of age when training camp began for him in September. He turned 19 in late September. So this is a young, young man, especially young to the rigors of pro hockey. But here we are with 18 games left in the season. He's raring to go. I see no wall, no fatigue situation hit, and able to play, as you mentioned, the 200-foot game.
And
that's part of being a part of Mike Babcock's system, is playing the entire sheet of ice. So,
right.
You know, he's there already. And, man, it's just going to be phenomenal to see where this guy goes. And you just keep your fingers crossed and pray that no serious injury befalls him, because he's just going to be fun to watch.
Exactly. And it's one of those things where a lot of Leaf fans are asking, is it inevitable that he'll be the next Toronto Maple Leafs captain, the 18th in franchise history?
Well, it's likely. Morgan Rielly would be another candidate as well. Morgan's 22, has already been with the organization for 4 years. If you do give it to Auston, when would you give it to him? Do you give it to him at age 20? It might be a bit young for a city like Toronto. They've given captaincies around the league to players, you know, young. You look at Connor McDavid out in Edmonton, but with all due respect to the city of Edmonton, this is Toronto, and it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't know whether they're going to be so forthcoming with it. If they are to give it to Austin, I don't think it would be as soon as next year, but I could see it in his third season with the Maple Leafs. If not, I could very much see Morgan Rielly being named captain, and at some point maybe next season, because he'll be in his fifth year with the team. But other than that, I'm not sure who you would give the captaincy to. And Austin's a very logical candidate. It's just a matter as to when. I don't see it next season, but maybe in a couple of seasons from now, for sure. He is without doubt one of the team's leaders, as is Morgan Rielly.
Paul, something as I've noticed about the Leafs this year is they have a very dynamic offensive game. Defensively, though, they've had some woes, especially giving up late third-period leads. Trade deadline just passed. They didn't really do much to fix up that blue line. I just wanted to get your take about, do you think they maybe had a plan in mind for the trade deadline and just couldn't get anything done? Or do you think they'll maybe fix it up in the offseason with free agency? But I personally think they need to do something about the blue line because, I mean, it doesn't match the offensive game that they have.
Yeah, I know. If they could have done something, they would have done something. The problem is you've got so many teams in contention for a playoff spot. Maybe four or five weren't. And the teams that are in contention aren't about to give another team one of their better defensemen, you know, a three, a four, a five, somewhere around there. They just don't grow on trees, and if you've got one, you're not going to give that player away just like that. So then you think, okay, maybe the offseason, will there be a player of such ilk available? Well, that's why the pro scouts are headed by Dave Morrison and his team, as they've fanned out not only across North America, but over to Europe as well. Maybe there's a free agent that can be signed. We'll have to wait and see what happens. You look at the third pairing in Hunwick and Pollock, both unrestricted free agents after this year. Do they re-sign one of them? Do they let both go? It's hard to say. This will all depend as to who is out there, what is available. You look at the Marley team, I don't think there's anyone. They need some grit and grind, and there's no one on the Marlies right now who I think fits that bill. They've got offensive defensemen, you know, in terms of a Travis Dermott. Renat Valiev would certainly help out, but he's missed a good portion of this season with a lower body injury. And Andrew Nielsen's the other player. Andrew's an offensive guy with some grit, but he still has to cut his teeth at the American Hockey League for at least one more full season. He's just a year out of junior. So there's nobody really within the organization that's going to step up and make the kind of impact that has to help this team. So it may come in the form of a trade, and we can start inserting names here and there as to what might generate a possibility of a good 3, 4, 5 guy coming back. But we'll see. I think it's obvious that, Morgan Rielly is going to be on your top pairing. Do you keep him with Zaitsev? Not certain about that. Maybe Nikita's better off served further down the list. I think Jake Gardner and Connor Carrick, I think they remain as a pair. There's Alexei Marchenko. There are a few other possibilities for that third pairing group. We'll see where they're at. But no, they do have to go out. They have to find someone. It's going to be tough to do it via free agency. But, I look at a player like Willie Mitchell when he played, a veteran guy, Dennis Seidenberg, those kind of players, Johnny Boychuk. Boychuk is maybe a top-pairing guy, but somebody with some veteran leadership, somebody with some grit, and somebody who's not going to cost you $3 or $4 million a year. So you've got to go out and search for those guys. They're not easy to find. And as mentioned, if you do have them, you don't get rid of them or trade them very, very quickly unless you're getting something substantial back in return. So it's going to make for a really fun time approaching the draft and in the offseason as well. But I know Brendan, Lou, the entire scouting staff are really searching hard, seeing if there's something that can be done because, agreed, they've got to get a little tougher, a little feistier on that back line because it hasn't been there this year. And they've got three young defensemen that they drafted last year, but those guys are far from being ready. One's in junior in London. The other two are in the NCAA ranks. They are all projects, all 6'5 and taller, but they've still got a ways to go.
Exactly, and those are great points. And it's funny that you mentioned Nikita Zaitsev because he will be an RFA at the end of the season, and I'd imagine the Leafs would like to keep him. The tremendous offside potential that teams saw in him when he was just a highly touted free agent is something they'd like to hold on to, I'd imagine.
Well, yeah, he's a proven find. I mean, and they didn't have to give up anything for him. He was a free agent signing who, you know, I played at age 24, 7 years of pro hockey. He went right from midget hockey primarily into the KHL and played 7 years in the K and then came to Canada. He's what I like about Nikita is you just don't notice him. Is he a big guy? Not necessarily. He's about 6'1". He's slight, but can skate like the wind, will not back off any challenge, and can contribute offensively, especially by getting pucks to the net and picking up assists that way. And he's exceptionally smart. No, he's been a valuable find, and I know head coach Mike Babcock has said they don't know where they would be if they did not have Nikita Zaitsev. So there's a bonus. Build off of that. Maybe they've got somebody else in mind from Russia. I'm not sure. But they've got to go out there and find a couple of defensemen, I think, next season. Somebody to play with Morgan Riley and then a middle or third pairing guy with some grit. We'll see what happens. It might necessitate a trade that could happen leading up to the draft or at some point this summer when things settle down and teams overlook what they've got in their rosters, and we'll go from there. Or maybe this takes place at some point next season. But without doubt, they've got to get a little tougher. They've got puck-moving defensemen. They just need a bit of grit back there on the blue line.
One last question from me, Paul. Coming into this season, there really wasn't any expectations for the Leafs. But as they've shown throughout the season, they're a pretty good team. And at the trade deadline, they made a move in acquiring Brian Boyle that really made a point to the team that we're going to go for it. Do you think that now, if they miss the playoffs, it will be a disappointment for them, or are they just happy with the growth that they've seen from some of their young guys?
Well, I think they're very pleased and maybe somewhat surprised that this team has been competitive as it is. And I don't want to speak for them. I'm speaking for myself. Did we expect on March the 6th the Maple Leafs to be competing for a playoff spot? I don't think so. Not with a team that everyone thought would have had three or four rookies on its opening night roster, let alone seven rookies, and let alone on most nights, 6 to 7 freshmen in their starting lineup to be as good as they've been this far into the season and inconsistent. It goes with it as well. But here they are with 18 games to be played, 10 at home and 8 on the road, an opportunity to make the postseason. I don't think it would be a disappointment whatsoever. I think they're very happy and maybe pleasantly surprised with how much they've been able to achieve. But now that they're at this point in time, hey, might as well go for it. Brian Boyle has added a veteran sense to that room. He has been there. He's played in 100 playoff games in his career, 67 games in the last three springs, so two Stanley Cup finals and a conference final. You can't underestimate the importance of what that means to the Maple Leafs. And he's just a mature guy, and he's a big guy. He's 6 feet, 7 inches tall, 245 pounds. He stands out. So he's going to help things out and maybe settle things down as they get going, but they're going to have to continue to get good goaltending. That's mandatory, and go from there. So would it be a disappointment? No, and I wouldn't consider it compare it to any of the latter season sort of collapses that we have seen from Toronto teams over the better part of the last decade. I think this is totally separate, major gains. But what will happen, whether they get into the playoffs this spring or not, next year there will be high expectations on this team, not only to get there, but to get there and certainly do something significant as these 19 and 20-year-olds gain more experience and confidence. So it's been a lot of fun. Can they make it? I think they can. I hope they can, because once you're in, you never know what can happen come the postseason. And this city and Leafs Nation as a whole is certainly chomping at the bit. If it doesn't happen, I think it's only going to be a matter of a year away that they're in the postseason. And I think ready to do what they're capable of doing. And it's been a long time in coming.
Well said. And Paul, we got to go back a couple weeks because it was funny. We had tried to get you on the show and you said you were going out for dinner with your daughter. And I had a friend that texted me later and said, "Hey, that's my friend's dad." And he was, and you were, oh. And so your daughter was, you guys went out for dinner. And so it was just a funny story there. So
yeah.
Just funny.
No, I don't get to see her much. So it was good. So yeah, those things are important, and they take priority at certain times.
Absolutely.
I can talk hockey most of the time, most of the year anyway.
Family's important. Well, Paul, we really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
If you want to follow Paul, and we suggest you follow Paul, follow him on Twitter at HennyTweets. Paul, thanks again for joining us on the show.
All right, gents. Thank you.
Have a good one. All right. That was Paul Hendricks of Leafs TV. Really nice guy. Really fun to talk to. We're going to jump to a commercial break. When we get back, we'll talk some more hockey. And welcome back to the show. You just missed Paul Hendricks. Don't worry, we'll post the content afterwards. Great interview, great guy. Moving on, we've got two very exciting things to talk about. We're going to jump right to the performer of the week. Johnny, who's your performer of the last week?
Well, I'm going to go with Nikita Kucherov because of his incredible, beautiful, too many adjectives to describe what it was.
Finesse? That's the word I would use.
Shootout goal. In which he shot it without shooting the puck.
It was a beautiful sight.
Something I have never seen before. And Steven Stamkos tweeted after it did it that he had practiced that in the morning skate, and he did it two times in the practice. So he was meaning to do that, which is absolutely incredible. For those who haven't seen it, he basically made it look like he was going to toe drag it.
And shoot it.
But he left the puck.
Right.
And the puck just slid five hole on the goalie. You have to look. I can't even describe. You have to watch it.
Well, even more to your point about him being a top performer this week, he was the NHL's first star for the last week.
That earned it alone, I think.
Yeah, probably. So
absolutely insane.
That's a good pick.
How about you?
You took my pick, so I had to come up with another one. And mine's kind of ironic, and we're doing two video picks, but they have to do it. I'm going to go with Colorado's breakaway, where this was funny. You got to see it. Just Google Colorado.
It's Blake Como.
Yeah, Blake Como. Blake Como was on a breakaway. He was on a breakaway against the Winnipeg netminder. He had a chance to score, and he drops the puck right into the Winnipeg defender's stick.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the end of the breakaway.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
He thought he had a drop pass with a teammate. I don't know why he decided to do that. You're supposed to just shoot it and hope for a rebound if you miss.
If you have the instinctive capabilities as an NHL player to just ruin your own breakaway, you deserve to be
the top performer
of the week, ironically,
of
course.
That's new levels of
stupidity.
I don't know what was going on.
I don't know what he was thinking. I'm watching the video right now, and it is just mind-boggling. He could have shot it. He could have deked it.
I want to hear what he said in the postgame, because I don't know what he said in the postgame.
They should drop him to the AHL.
What do you say? What do you say when you do that? Guys,
I have no idea.
I had a brain fart. I don't know. What do you say? I wouldn't know what to say.
It looked like he said, Jesus, take the wheel and let it carry Underwood, and just threw it to his teammate.
He said, I really want Nolan Patrick on this team next year. That's what he said. He said, I want that first overall pick.
That was just awful. But let's move on. Let's go to your highlight of the week.
My highlight is, it's actually a team, Chicago. They've won seven straight. All of a sudden, they look like a team to contend with.
All of a sudden, they're always a team to contend with.
This season, though, they really haven't stood out, but now it looks like they're getting on a roll. And when the Chicago Blackhawks got on a roll, look out.
Yeah,
because they are scary. And
they're
closing
in on the Wild's points. I mean, they're at 89, Wild are at 90. Mm-hmm. So don't count them out. I mean, that's a team to look out for
moving in the playoffs, because they have the experience and they know what they're doing.
Exactly. So that's a pretty good highlight. Capitals are doing well, too, right now. You got to look at the Caps. I mean, I'm never going to say the Capitals are going to win the Cup, just because I'm not going to. But anyways, my highlight of the week has to be the Vegas Golden Knights officially becoming the 31st.
We talked about this earlier.
I know, but it's exciting.
It's a big thing to happen.
That's huge. They literally paid a check of $500 million to the NHL last week.
They got the fan base behind them. Sold out their season tickets super quick.
Yeah, it's exciting to me. And obviously with the what we talked about, it's pretty exciting. We're going to move right into my favorite segment ever on any show. It's called Take Two. We've done it before. We're going to do it again. I'm going to pose a topic of controversy or a discussion. We're each going to have a minute. Music's going to be playing in the background. It's fun. The topic this week is too many outdoor games. Are there too many? Are there enough? Johnny, you've got 1 minute. Go.
All right, let's go. For me, personally, I think there's way too many outdoor games now.
Of course
and
you do.
the big thing for me, I wouldn't care if there were that many outdoor games, but it's the same teams over and over playing in them. You got Chicago, Pittsburgh, Philly. I mean, mix it up. Arizona hasn't gotten an outdoor game yet.
Who would go see Arizona play in the desert?
What are you talking about? They have a good fan base out. Oh, be quiet. I see you laughing over there. I mean, come on. It's not even fair anymore. How many? The Devils have had one outdoor game. We're playing in the New York market. Meanwhile, the Rangers have had like three or four. It's ridiculous. I really wish that the NHL would smarten up, realize that it's been watered down to a point where, quite frankly, I don't think many people care about it anymore. I don't know. That's just me. But, all right, my minute's up.
That's it? That's your minute?
It's been watered down.
You had 8 seconds left. You did not convince me. But let's jump to mine. I'm obviously going to be fighting the other side. My minute will start right now. Johnny, I put a file on the computer. Would you mind playing that for me?
What? This? What?
Yeah,
this?
That one right there.
Secret?
Yep, the secret file.
You know that this is in your minute?
Yep, this is my minute. Go ahead.
All right, should I stop playing the music?
Yeah, stop playing the music.
Okay, here we go. I'll put this louder. I don't know what this is. You ever go to an outdoor game?
No, I haven't been to one. Yeah,
there's so much. I'm not going to say this on air, but they're a lot of fun to go to.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, I just got that recorded.
Oh, my God.
Excuse me? Did Johnny Fabrazzo just get secretly recorded in our meeting earlier today?
This is an invasion of privacy.
This is not an invasion of privacy. This is an invasion of awesome. Canadia. I can't talk. Canada
that
beats America.
That doesn't prove your point.
This proves my point. You just said outdoor games are awesome because you've been to one. I don't have to argue. I could talk about anything I want. I have a beard. I could talk about my beard.
I don't think Denton
would like that.
Yet.
I'm entirely convinced.
You still have about 20 seconds.
We get so many ratings from outdoor games. Point taken. I win. You lose. Game over. Done. That's it. My minute's up. I won that by a mile.
When I went to the outdoor game, the Devils lost, so it wasn't fun.
Or the fact that you just had a blast and your team lost. That's a factor. We just heard Johnny Fabrazzo argue for a minute, not even a full minute, 52 seconds. That outdoor games are happening too frequently, that the same teams are playing too much. Yet, in our meeting earlier today, I recorded him saying he likes outdoor games and he's been to one.
Do you know what? In my defense, I went to an outdoor game the first year they had more than one. The first year they had the stadium series. So that was all new then. But I think now, what is it, three or four years later?
I don't know.
From when I went. I think it's been too watered down.
Take it to Judge Judy.
What?
Take it to Judge Judy. I won this one. You can't admit it.
Andrew, I want to change the subject. Are there any big games that you're looking forward to this week? I think the Maple Leafs are playing the Red Wings.
The Maple Leafs are playing the Red Wings. That's tomorrow night. They haven't actually played in a few games, so that'll be exciting to watch. I've got a few games really quickly, only because I don't like these teams and I want them to lose. The Montreal Canadiens are playing the Vancouver Canucks. I want both teams to lose. I don't want either team to win. I would rather the Canucks win, however. Edmonton Oilers are playing the New York Islanders. I would rather the Oilers win. Those are the two highlight games for me because they affect the Leafs in the standings. That's it. What about you?
Big matchup here. Are you ready?
Of course.
New Jersey Devils at the Colorado Avalanche.
You were like shaking when you said that. That's how excited you are.
I am. I want us to lose.
What? Hey, oh, you. No,
Nolan,
don't tank.
Nolan
You're tanking.
Patrick.
No.
If the Leafs can do it, the Devils can do it.
No, the Leafs didn't tank. Buffalo tanked. Buffalo's the tanking team.
The Leafs tanked. What are you talking about?
The Leafs tried their best, and it was noble, and they failed.
Okay, I want the Devils to try their best, but I want them to lose.
You just said you want them to do bad, so you get the best shot at Nolan Patrick.
They can try their best, but we're a bad team, so I want us to lose.
Everybody wants Nolan Patrick. I want Nolan Patrick. I would like Nolan Patrick just to come on the show for 5 seconds. He doesn't even have to talk on the radio. He could just sit with us, and it'd be funny.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be perfect.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
I want Nolan Patrick.
No, it was a serious question. Who would you want to watch this week? And you said the Devils, your team, and you want them to lose.
Yeah. I'm being smart.
No.
Okay. Actually, a game I want to watch is Anaheim-Chicago. But
why?
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 Because those are two good teams.
Okay.
And they're Western Conference teams, so it's going to be a big physical game.
Can I change my answer?
Sure.
Because I was looking at tomorrow's games because I forgot that it's only like 7 o'clock here. The Boston Bruins are playing the Ottawa Senators tonight, And that's a huge game because one of those two teams is obviously going to lose. And I'd honestly, I've said it all season that I want Ottawa to win or lose. But I want Ottawa to win tonight because Boston's closer to the Leafs in the standings. So I really hope Ottawa can win
smart.
This game.
That's smart.
That's all I got to say on that.
So, all right, that's going to do it from us this week. We don't know if we're going to have a show next week. We got spring break coming up.
We might. Yeah, we might try to get a show out.
So if not, I know you're going to be here, but if not, we will talk to you in 2 weeks, and we will see you on the next
one. Hi, Flames fans. This is Grant Garvin, forward for the D1 men's hockey team.
This is Ben Hughes, captain for Liberty men's hockey team.
Hey, this is Andy Clark from the Liberty Flames hockey team.
Having the fans cheer is incredible for us at Liberty. That's where we get tons of our energy from in the game. All the momentum is going our way, and the fans are cheering loud. Who can't get up or who can't get excited whenever you have 3,000 fans screaming?
The fans cheering is phenomenal. It gets everyone going, gets the boys going, makes us work harder, and makes us appreciate everything that we have at Liberty.
Obviously, we love the fans. We appreciate you. I just thank you for your support.
Thank you for listening to 90.9 FM and supporting Liberty Hockey with them this season.